the head coach of your Portland Trail Blazers as they get set for game one with the Rockets on Sunday. 54 wins. Love it. Let's go to the phones right now and welcome in Terry Stotts back to the program. Coach, good afternoon. I just want to take the moment to congratulate you. 54 wins, man. We love it here in Rip City.
Well, thanks. It's been a great season so far. You know, we've really, I've enjoyed it. I think it's been a season that we achieved the things that we set forth at the beginning of the year. And like we said at the beginning of the year, we don't want to be satisfied with just making the playoffs. So we're looking forward to going to Houston and making a little noise.
No doubt. You know, Coach, you hear enough of the negative being a head coach in the NBA, but I just wanted you to know that all season long, you know, I talk to Blazer fans every day, 5 days a week. Not only are they happy with the fact that you won 54 games, but they really like the style of offense, your style of play with the flow offense to the floor, making the Blazers one of the more enjoyable teams to watch in the NBA.
Well, I think it's a fun style to watch. I think it's a fun style to play. And, you know, and it's a fun style to coach. We don't run up and down as much as I would like. I don't know if we're necessarily constructed like that, but I like the way we move the ball. You know, I like taking threes. I like the things that we were able to establish. Even last year, I think we built the foundation with our offense last year, and there was a carryover to this year. And, you know, our offense has been a big part of our success.
Coach, you know, you look at guys like Wesley and Dame. Their whole lives they've lived is, you know, in that underdog role, which I love. Both teams, the Rockets and Blazers, each with 54 wins across the board. You guys are evenly matched in terms of numbers. The majority of experts see the Rockets as a team that would not only possibly move forward, but maybe win the championship. Are you guys embracing the role as underdogs, or are you looking at it like, hey, this is an evenly matched series. We played them tough during the season. What's the mentality going in?
That's a good question. To be honest, probably a little bit of both. You know, we know that we're not the favorite. You know, they have home court. We have played them well twice. I think the experts see that we are 1-3. They may not have watched our fourth game with them that really should have been ours. But we embrace the role of underdog. But I don't think at all that don't think that we have a chance or that we're by any means overshadowed by it. So I think all year long we got off to a good start because we had something to prove, and I think we'll go into this series by having something to prove.
We're talking with head coach Terry Stotts. Now, I want to go back. Before the season at Media Day, I really admired how you embraced the challenge of making the playoffs. You said you expected it. You said that this was the most talented team you had ever had the opportunity to coach. What was it you saw in this team that a lot of other people didn't when you were talking playoffs?
Well, primarily, two things. One is I had a lot of confidence in the four returning starters. Damian, West, Nick, and L.A. last year, I thought, showed without a doubt how good they could be throughout a year, throughout the season. You know, I know we lost 13 in a row at the end, but we were competitive up until April 1st as far as fighting for a playoff spot, which nobody really saw. The fact that those four guys showed that we could compete at a high level, then we addressed three needs in the offseason. Our three most glaring needs were a defensive-minded center, and we got that in Robin Lopez. We needed a backup point guard, and we got that in Mo Williams. And we needed some scoring off the bench, and we got that with Mo Williams and Durrell Wright. So our three biggest needs going into the season were addressed, and so I just felt like it would be a good fit for everything.
You look at Damian Lillard, he's getting a chance to get his first taste of playoff action. And we've seen it over the course of the years in the NBA where all the greats, they kind of have to go through that baptism by fire in the playoffs and getting used to that intensity and what the game's all about and the way it's played in the playoffs. What is the biggest message you'll give to Dame before game one on Sunday?
You know, to be honest, I don't know if there's necessarily a message that needs to be delivered. Damian's a student of the game. He powered through and willed his way through a remarkable rookie season when everybody said, well, you know, he's a rookie and he's going to hit a wall and he's going to, you know, he's going to have his ups and downs, and which he did. But, you know, he has very strong willpower. And I think that's the biggest thing that you need in the playoffs. It's a mental grind. And Damian's one of the more mentally tough young players I've ever been around.
You know, when you look at Dame, maybe it's just me, but you know, I've seen him after all the games this year and the way he's handling himself. He just seems like a young player that's very comfortable with his game and where he's at and with the team. I mean, I'm almost blown away by his poise for being such a young player.
Well, that was even more noticeable last year as a rookie. You know, every time I went into a different city and was asked about Damian, that invariably came up, was how much poise and maturity he showed as a rookie. And this year, I think it's even more noticeable. As a second-year player, he's grown from last year. He understands the NBA game. He knows our style, knows his game better. He improved. So I think he just made another jump in that poise and maturity department from year one to year two.
We're talking with head coach Terry Stotts. You know, you look at James Harden and Dwight Howard. They're so good, two superstars for the Rockets. As a coach, when you look at this series, how do you go about limiting what they do and the damage they can do to you with their games, but at the same time, not allowing somebody else like maybe a Chandler Parsons to go off? How do you find that balance in terms of how you want to slow them down?
Well, I think, most coaches at this level in the playoffs, that's always a question you have to ask. And no matter what team you're talking about, every team usually has one or two or three guys that are their primary scorers. You know, we need to work hard on Dwight Howard. We need to work hard on James Harden. Limiting them is hard work by not only the guys guarding them, but the guys helping. One of the things I really like about the playoffs is that everybody is really dialed in. You know, everybody is dialed in to every possession, and therefore your help defense is better and your reactions are better. And I think that's what it's going to take. Look, James Harden and Dwight Howard are going to score. And like you say, you got to minimize what they do. And at the same time, we can't let the other guys have the impact with the offensive reboundings and the drives to the baskets and the back doors and all the other ways that they score, the open threes. So, it takes a concerted effort. But what I like about the playoffs is that since everybody's dialed in, I'm not saying it's easier, but you have a better chance of accomplishing it.
How important is it to value each and every possession in the playoffs?
Well, look, it's just as important as the regular season. I was listening to you earlier when Ben Gala was talking about value of possession. You know, I think a lot of times people equate that to just turnovers. And when I say value every possession, it means that at both ends of the floor, it means with and without the ball. You know, valuing a possession by being alert on the weak side so you can stunt, or valuing a possession by executing a play and setting the screen when and where you're supposed to set it, being dialed in on out-of-timeout plays. Just all those things are part of valuing every possession, and it's much more a mental thing, and it's not just taking care of the ball, although that is part of it.
Hey, Coach, I love Robin Lopez now, and he's been so awesome all season. Did you know he was going to be this good?
Probably not. I knew he would have an impact on our team defensively, and that was the hope. He's been better offensively than I had anticipated. His chemistry, obviously everybody sees what he does on the floor, but I think he's a really good chemistry guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a team first player. Players know that he plays with a pure heart. It's about doing the things that are necessary to win. The things that he does, whether it's being persistent to the offensive boards or rebounding or setting screens or all those things that don't necessarily go in the stat sheet, he does willingly. And he has such respect from his teammates for that. So he has added so much more than I probably would have anticipated in a lot of different areas.
How much can you play him one-on-one against Howard?
Well, I think one-on-one's a little bit of a misnomer because even though we don't double-team, I think it's important that the other players really crowd him and protect the paint and not just stand and watch Robin guard him. So it's not really one-on-one, but it's not really double-team. I think it's a team thing. The closer he gets in the paint, everybody else should crowd him and make it a little bit more difficult for him to score.
What's it like going to the playoffs this time around with the team that's won 54 games compared to the first time you went with Milwaukee?
Well, we were the eighth seed. You know, you talk about crazy end of game, end of season scenarios. We were the eighth seed. If we had won our last game of the season, we would have been the fifth seed. So it was, there were four teams all within a game of each other.
Wow.
And we had all the tiebreakers. So we ended up losing the last game at Washington, which moved us from a five to an eight seed. And, you know, we ended up playing Detroit, who was, you know, at that time coming off, they were 2 years removed from the championship, but obviously they were still a very good team. And we were a heavy underdog, and, you know, we lost the first two there. We won game three and then lost four and five. But we were overmatched, but we had, in some ways it was similar to this year. We had made a 10-game turnaround. No one picked us to make the playoffs. We got off to a hot start. We kind of faltered down the stretch, but we made the playoffs. And but this time is much different. You know, the 54 wins puts us in a different at a different level. And you know, our expectations are much higher than they were in Milwaukee.
No doubt. A couple of weeks ago, after one of the games at the post-game press conference, you were talking about Mo Williams and how, you know, you had him in Milwaukee when he was younger. He's had a chance to play in Cleveland with LeBron, and he's got so much experience. He's experienced it all through his time in the league, and how he really has a true respect for what this team's been able to accomplish this season. What's it been like to have Mo this year in terms of what he's brought to the bench?
You know, Mo is a guy that I trust every night, and, you know, he'll have his ups and downs. I know, you know, I've heard comments about his game, but he is, you know, he has been somebody that we've relied on every game. I mean, he comes in and plays for Damian. He plays with Damian. He changes the tempo of the game. When he scores in double figures, it's been well chronicled that we have a high success rate, and we wouldn't have the record that we have if it weren't for Mo. And, you know, whether it's scoring, assists, changing the pace of the game, he's just been a very reliable player for us. And I think what you're going to see from Mo with the playoffs, and since he's been there before, and how he relishes the moment, I think you're going to see Mo Williams have a very good series.
What were the guys like at practice? Were you pleased with how things transpired today?
I really was. We had an extended video session. They were really dialed in to the things that we were showing them. You know, sometimes those video sessions, your mind can wander, even mine does sometimes. But they were really dialed in on the things that we're showing them. One of the advantages of knowing who we were going to play, and the fact that we play Sunday, is that we were able to stagger some of the video today, tomorrow, and Sunday. But they were really dialed in on that. And then we went through their sets live, and it was competitive. We talked about different defensive scenarios, defensive schemes, and then some situational stuff. And it was a very focused and lively practice.
Hey, Coach, I need to tell you that you looked pretty hot in that Jack Ramsey blazer you wore during the Utah game, and that was fresh.
I did, didn't I?
No, you looked awesome.
That might have been my most proud moment of the season.
No, but I love it because you've embraced the local area, the franchise. You understand what Dr. Jack means to the franchise. But I tweeted out a picture today of that blazer that you were wearing, and it's like, man, that just looked good. In fact, I encourage you to do that a little bit more often. You look good in the plaid.
Well, you know what? It was. I doubt that I'd do it again. It was a special moment in honor of Dr. Jack. And, you know, to do it. In occasion other than that, I don't know. It's just, if we have a Jack Ramsey night next season, then you can count on it.
Well, zoology, you know, I watched the pop-up video with you at the Moda Center a few weeks ago. What, that was your major, zoology at the University of Oklahoma. Why?
Because I was a pre-dental major. I was accepted to dental school, and then I decided to take the path of basketball. But so to be admitted into dental school, you had to major in a science, whether it was zoology or botany or microbiology or physics or chemistry. It was going to be one of those. So zoology is basically biology just for animals. So, but I do get asked about that quite often.
Good stuff. Now, I was just curious. All right, final question, and I apologize, but my dad really wants to know, you know, I was born in Tulsa, and you went to the University of Oklahoma. My parents grew up in Ponca City. My dad went to school with a guy named Larry Stotts, and he said he was a good athlete and a pretty good basketball player. He wants to know if you are related to a Larry Stotts.
I don't know that I am. However, one of my relatives did a family tree research, and there was a Stotts who was a mule skinner in Oklahoma in the 1800s. So if there was a mule skinner named Stotts in Oklahoma, then there's a chance our bloodlines had crossed somewhere along the line.
Oh, that is so awesome. All right. Well, 54 wins. I got to tell you what, Coach, I wish you the best. And, man, I want you guys to win this series so badly. So I wish you the best. And I really like you a lot. So just keep doing what you're doing, man. You kill it, Coach. I love you.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate your support.
All right. Good stuff, man. Terry Stotts, ladies and gentlemen. A mule skinner. All right, I got to give a big thanks to the Trailblazers for giving me access to Coach Stotts and have him on the show. So a big thanks to Jim Taylor. I love you, Jimmy. Thank you. Michael Llewellyn, Colin Romer, and the rest of the crew over there at the Blazers, always doing a great job of helping out. And I can't do an interview like that without having the support of the Trailblazers. So Jimmy T, that was big time right there, buddy. I appreciate it.